executive editor of digital media at WCBS-TV. That sounds like a very cool job. What does that involve?
It is a very cool job. I'm responsible for the station's website, WCBSTV.com, and for all of the other digital media products that we presently offer or are developing. I can tell you that since I arrived, we became the first New York television station to offer full-motion local news video and animated live weather radar on cell phones. We're the exclusive provider of that for Sprint and Verizon in the New York market. We have become the exclusive local news video provider for Yahoo News for the New York market. And we have also become the first New York television station to stream live most of our weekday newscasts, our noon, 5, and 6 p.m. newscasts, are streamed live on the site and then archived until the next newscast occurs so that folks can either watch it through appointment viewing if they're not near a television and want to watch the news live, or on demand, either way. So we try to serve the best of both digital media worlds in that respect. We're also developing new digital media products that I can't really talk about yet. But my goal is to be first, to be innovative, and to use being first and innovative in the digital media world to extend the WCBS-TV news brand in particular, but also weather, sports, and entertainment brands throughout the range of potential platforms. You know, the last time you and I chatted, it was shortly after I became chairman of RTNDA, the Radio Television News Directors Association, and I told you at that point that one of my main missions at RTNDA was going to be to try to transform that 60-year-old traditional broadcast journalism-oriented organization into an organization that was positioned for the future, that recognized that electronic journalism was more than radio or television or even text on a website, that the electronic journalism of the future was going to be audio, video, and text delivered on platforms, many of which we haven't even thought of yet. And, you know, that was one of my main missions at RTNDA. I'm proud to say I moved that big old lady in that direction, and it continues to make progress. But the more I talked about that, the more I preached that gospel when I was RTNDA chairman, the more excited I got about it. And toward the end of my term as chairman, all of the preaching that I had done had gotten the attention of some folks here in New York, whom I met along the way, and they asked me, you know, the next time you're in town, stop by. We'd like to say hello. So I stopped by one day, and the next thing I knew, I was in the office of the general manager of WCBS-TV having a job interview. And a few months after that, I was here.
Wow. It's amazing. I didn't send you the questions I was going to ask, but my second question was exactly that. The challenge, what you just articulated, was challenge number two in those five challenges that you set out when you took over. So,
well, one of the people I chatted with in that whole process I just described, one of the people I chatted with at the CBS television station's National Digital Media Group, and they are responsible for national content and the CMS and other infrastructure of our site and all of the CBS-owned station websites. One of the people I talked to at the National Digital Media Group as part of this process said to me at one point, look, you've been a radio guy for 26 years. You've been preaching the gospel that electronic media is changing. It's becoming digital media. It's becoming something that we don't even know yet how it's going to turn out. Why don't you put your career where your mouth is?
Ooh, I like that.
And that was a challenge that I could not resist.
We are seeing what some people have called the unbundling of content. Now, I can still watch CSI on my TV, but I can also buy it on iTunes, which is great for the producers of CSI, and it's great for the people at iTunes, and it's great for the fans. What does that change mean for TV stations and networks?
I won't presume to say that TV stations and networks were the innovators in this, but I think we are innovators now to the extent that we are willing and eager and quick in most cases to take advantage of what consumers are saying they want. I mean, you and I both know that when broadband became widely available, that revolutionized the entire landscape. It completely changed it. And to some people in our business, they saw that wide open vista in front of them and were intimidated by it. Some people, on the other hand, saw that wide open vista and got excited and invigorated and couldn't wait to get in the covered wagon and set out and pioneer through that vista and discover new territories and new lands and new experiences. Those are the people who are going to survive and thrive, because they've recognized the changes in that landscape before them. The other folks who are intimidated by it, they sit back and say, you know what, we don't want to be a pioneer, because pioneers are the ones who get the arrows shot in their backs. And so, that's really unfortunate, because you see it on Wall Street, you see it in the advertising industry. The people who look at that wide open vista can't wait to get in their covered wagons and set out across it and pioneer new things. Those are the people being rewarded today through stock price, through increased ad revenue. The folks who are worried about getting shot in the back with an arrow, they're suffering in terms of stock price and advertising revenue.
Last time we spoke, you were reading a lot of blogs. You were a little too busy to be blogging yourself. I see that several of the WCBS-TV anchors and correspondents are blogging. Technorati now indexes more than 50 million blogs. Is this a fad, or is this part of the digital media future?
It's part of the digital media future, but it's only the beginning of that aspect of the digital media future. I think the digital media of the relatively near future is not just going to be about blogging. It's going to be about some of the things we're already seeing that are already catching on. It's going to be about video sharing. It's going to be about citizen journalism in a huge, huge way. It's going to be about online communities, and it's going to be about news organizations, newspaper, radio, TV stations, online standalone news organizations. It's going to be about more transparency. Never before in the history of our profession have members of the general public, have news consumers had more power and more ability to police the veracity of the content we provide them. And that's going to become even more significant as we move forward.
Are you guys finding ways to put any of that sort of consumer-produced content on your sites and on air?
We're looking at that, and we're working on it. It's not moving as quickly as I would like, but that definitely is in our future.
Do you have responsibilities in the radio arena at WCBS, or is it just TV?
No, just TV. I interface with particularly one of the executives in charge of all the CBS radio websites. We have a good working relationship, and we partner on things where it makes sense for both of us. But I have almost nothing to do with radio now.
Well, you spent most of your career in radio, so what advice would you give to radio station owners and news directors? Do you have any warnings for them, or anything you would advise?
My warning is, if you don't do more than just stick your toe in the water, if you don't plunge headfirst and totally immerse yourself in the digital media future and do it now, you will die. That's my warning. My advice is, drastically and significantly expand your digital media resources, and most of that obviously is people. You look at a lot of the traditional old media companies now, particularly old media broadcast companies, and the only area, and I'm talking about the biggies, NBC, CBS, I presume ABC, and a lot of the television station groups, the only area of expansion in these difficult economic times is in digital media. Digital media right now is an oasis of internal growth in the middle of this desert of cutbacks in all other areas. And local broadcasters need to understand that and need to plunge in. Just do a big old belly flop right in the pool, because otherwise you're going to die. Sticking your toe in the water isn't good enough. And the person who says, the program director, the news director, the general manager, who says, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do that on the web. I'm sorry, we can't do that in some other digital media platform because we have to protect our core product. That's the dinosaur. That's the person who will become extinct sooner rather than later. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from local broadcasters around the country.
Mm-hmm. I assume you have hiring responsibilities. What kinds of skills will you be looking for when you hire for digital media jobs?
The staff I inherited here, and it's a fairly large staff right now, and it's in the process of expanding, but the staff I inherited had 8 people in this television newsroom who do nothing but digital media content mostly. But there's a good mix of people. I have folks who have backgrounds in building things on the web, and I have a lot of folks with I have some pardon me, some folks with journalism backgrounds, and I have one person on staff whose background was as a TV news producer, and that person primarily deals with creating web-exclusive, web-only video products that are made available to sell through our sales department. So I've got a good mix now. The people I am looking for as I attempt to expand are mostly journalists. They have journalism backgrounds. Because one of the biggest things I've noticed, and I'm not talking about my digital media operation at this point, because as I just said, I've got a good mix of people. But the biggest problem I see in the digital media world today as it relates to journalism-type operations is that very few web producers have been journalists. Right. And because of that, they don't have a sense of urgency. They don't have a sense of context or perspective and the need to provide that. They don't have the chops, the knowledge, the expertise that allows them to be aggressive on breaking news and severe weather coverage. Well, how do you do breaking news and severe weather coverage in a digital media world? You do it through text alerts, through email alerts. You do it by with breaking news alerts and severe weather alerts on your page. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do that, and you've got to be aggressive about it. Unfortunately, many of the web producers in this business today came up as web producers, and that's how they got their education, and that's all the experience they have. So they lack that that journalistic sense that's required to do this job well. That sort of proves a theory that I had, and part of the stump speech I would give about this when I was RTNDA chairman. I always said that today's electronic media journalists, today's radio reporters and news directors, television reporters, producers and news directors, and assistant news directors and EPs, today's traditional electronic journalists are the best positioned to thrive in this new digital media world. And I found that to be true. Because you can teach somebody rudimentary HTML code. You can teach somebody how to make a web page look nice. You can teach somebody all of those things, but you've got to have those basic journalistic skills and drives, and you've got to have that DNA, or you're not going to your digital media product isn't going to be nearly as good as it could or should be.
Yeah, well said. What sort of, this is sort of a semi-personal question. What sort of electronic toys would we find in your pocket or on your desk?
Oh, wow. I have, 20 years ago, the geeks all had pocket protectors.
Yeah.
Now, the geeks, including myself, have two or three electronic devices on their belts. I have a Trio, which is my personal phone, personal PDA, personal contact list.
What model?
I have the 650.
Time to upgrade, buddy.
I have not yet plunged into the 700. I've been sitting back and watching all of this stuff. The Windows stuff didn't work so well, and now they're doing Palm OS, but a lot of companies aren't supporting that, so with their networks. So I've sort of been waiting to see how that all flushes out. So I have the Trio 650. That's my personal device. I have a BlackBerry, which is my work device, and I also have the new Sprint video phone that I use to monitor our full motion local news video and weather radar products on cell phones. So I carry three phones all the time. I have an iPod, of course.
Which model?
It's the iPod Video, the most recent one. And I had the choice of a 30 or a 60. And, you know, whenever I'm presented with a choice, I always take the bigger one. I have the 60, and I realize really quickly that it is impossible in my lifetime to actually fill the damn thing up. But I do have an iPod. Now, let me say something. I don't know. You decide if this is a bold statement or not. Speaking of iPods, I think podcasting is already passé.
Blasphemy.
No, I do. And I'll tell you what, for radio and TV newsrooms and newspapers, I think it's already passé. You know why?
I'd love to hear why you think that's true.
It's passé because you have to go to iTunes or some other similar provider. You have to find what you're looking for. You have to download it, purchase and then download it onto your computer, then download it onto your iPod. The future is full motion local news video, where all I have to do is flip open my phone, punch three buttons, and I'm watching the news. I'm not reading the news. I'm not having to download the news. It's right there, and I watch it when I want to watch it instantly.
Hey, I agree, but if Dan Shelley had a weekly 20-minute podcast on digital media, I would subscribe to that and listen to it every week, whenever and wherever I want. But I don't think that in any way contradicts the future that you just predicted. I think you're right about that. But, you know, I think there'll always be a place for that really sliver niche content that I'm not going to get on my mobile. Well, I probably will get it on my mobile device.
Well, let's make a distinction here. When I say it's passé, I'm specifically referring to news coverage.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Weather.
Podcasting's no good for
sports,
news coverage.
Sports, et cetera. You know, a lot of stations, including a lot of the CBS radio stations, none of the CBS TV stations are doing it, but a lot of radio and TV stations, including the CBS radio stations, invest a lot of time and resources and energy into podcasting everything. And God love them. A lot of them have found a nice little revenue stream out of doing that. But in terms of delivering news, in terms of on-demand news coverage and weather information and traffic information for that matter, nothing beats the immediacy of full-motion local news video and animated live weather radar and forecasts on your cell phone. Punch three buttons and you're in. No downloading, no dragging over to your iPod, no waiting 20 minutes for a 30-minute newscast to download onto your computer and then having to put it in your iPod. It's there now. Three buttons, you're in.
I think you and I ought to have this conversation every year just so you can sort of update me on your predictions. Hey, I know you're busy. I've got one last question for you.
Okay.
How are you acclimating to life in the big city? Is it true that traffic in Springfield, Missouri is worse than Manhattan?
Yes. No, it's not. Well, it's just that there's a lot more of it, but people here, Well, first of all, when I moved here a couple of months ago, one of the first things I did was sell my car.
Good for you.
It sort of scared me at first because this is the first time in my adult life that I have not owned a car. But you know what? I don't need one. I walk to and from work, unless it's really hot or it's raining. And I found an apartment on the Upper West Side, about a 15-minute walk to work. So I walk to and from work, so that's healthier for me than sitting on my big butt in a car for X number of hours a day. The people who do drive here, most of the people who drive here are professionals. They're cab drivers or they're limo drivers or town car drivers or whatever. So the traffic here is better. There's just a hell of a lot more of it, and one little problem really causes widespread gridlock. But to answer your main question, I love living in New York, and in the last couple of months it has become apparent to me why people who have lived here a long time often develop that arrogant attitude that New York is the center of the universe.
Uh-oh, here it comes, here it comes.
No, I see what. No. What I said was, I see why they feel that way.
Good,
because it's easy to become enveloped in all that New York has to offer, and you know, think that the United States of America stops at the Hudson River. Clearly, it doesn't, and clearly, I don't subscribe to that. I like to think that one of the things I'm bringing to my little corner of the New York media world, this newsroom, is a little Midwestern common sense, and you know, somebody who's willing to raise their hand and said, excuse me, do you realize how arrogant that just sounded, or do you realize how politically biased that sounded? I know you're not biased, but do you realize how it sounded?
You know, there's another Springfield boy not far from you.
So I hear.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago I did an interview with Dan Arnall, who is the business editor now for ABC World News Tonight, and he's right up there somewhere near you. So,
yeah, he's up at 66th and Columbus, and I'm at the CBS Broadcast Center on West 57th between 10th and 11th. I don't know him. I never met him.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I thought you knew Dan.
No, he's younger than I am. But I read about him on your blog, and maybe our paths will cross someday.
Hey, speaking of crossing paths and those walks along the Upper West Side, any brushes with near greatness, any famous people?
Well, this building is a kick. I have to tell you, the CBS Broadcast Center is a kick for, you know, an old-time media geek like me. I mean,
you're not running around asking for autographs, are you?
Oh, please. Hell no.
Okay.
That's not cool. But my office is in the WCBS TV newsroom. It's toward the back of the newsroom, and right around the corner from me is a doorway and a small hallway that goes to our studio if you go straight. If you turn right, you go into this big back hallway where there are a number of huge studios. One of them is closest to my office is BET, where they shoot the show 106 in Park. It's one of their most popular shows about hip-hop music. So half the time when I walk out at the end of the day, they're taping, and, you know, I'll run into a Janet Jackson or a Justin Timberlake or, you know, somebody who's here to do that show. Next door to them are the two studios where they shoot The Guiding Light, the soap opera. Now, I'm not a soap fan and never have been. But, you know, when you hop on the elevator, it's easy to tell who the soap stars are.
Yeah.
Because they're the most beautiful people in the elevator. So we have those two studios. Then just down the hall from that is the studio where Charles Osgood does CBS Sunday Morning. And you walk down this hallway and you see the big props, you know, those big glass things with the that are behind him. You see him just sitting out in the hallway. And then next door to him, at the far end of this big hallway, is the CBS Sports Studio, where they do NFL pregame, halftime, NCAA. You know, they do all of their pregame and postgame shows for all the sports that CBS does. You go down you go out the other WCBS TV newsroom door and walk to the end of that hallway, and there's Katie Couric's new set.
pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And so who have I seen? I used to run into Bob Schieffer all the time when he was anchoring. Very nice man. I run into Charles Osgood from time to time. Who else have I seen? A lot of the CBS News correspondents, the 48 Hours people are all here. The 60 Minutes studio is here, though their offices are across the street. CBS Radio News, the radio network, is here too, and I run into those people all the time. And a couple of weeks ago, I got on the elevator, and somebody said, "Hold the door," in a very quiet voice. So I held the door, and it was Andy Rooney.
My man.
And I'm told that he, you know, I'm told that he's not a very verbose person when he sees you in the hallway. So I said to him, "What floor are you going to?" And he said, "Well, one will do me fine." So I hit one. We get to the first. I'm on the second floor. We get to the first floor. The door opens, and as he's walking out of the elevator, he looks at me. He goes, "Thank you, sir, very much. Have a nice day."
Hey, all right.
And I told people about that in the newsroom, and they're like, "Wow, Andy Rooney said, 'Have a nice day'?" It was like this big, big deal.
Well, I could keep you tied up here forever and ever, but I know you got tons of stuff to do.
By the way, the only person I have not yet run into in the hallway is Katie Couric.
Well, tell Katie I said hey.
If I ever see her. I mean, I know she's here. when, you know, sometimes if I leave work, sometimes I'm here to 7 o'clock or 7:15. If I leave out the main entrance at that time of day, there are always paparazzi waiting for her to come out. But I've never seen her.
Well, I guess I want to say I'm proud of you, but I'm not sure from what position I could say that, except I'm really happy for you. This sounds like a dream perfect job for you, and you're a great fit for it.
Thanks.
It sounds like you're having a wonderful time. You're pumped about what you're doing. I got to get you blogging, though, so you can share some of your insights about the stuff that you're doing and plan to do with the rest of us. I mean, not the secret stuff, but just your thoughts on digital media.
Well, I maintain a website that has
that's true.
Thousands of pages of content, tens of thousands of archived, viewable, on-demand local news video clips. I'm trying constantly to get our correspondents, our anchors, to blog more. So if you find about two extra hours in a day, if the days were 26 hours long instead of 24, I'd be happy to do my own blog.
That's exactly the same thing the Pope said when I pressed him on this. So.
Yeah.